You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. So today we're going to be talking about something that I know absolutely nothing about. It involves, like, you know, wellness and being physically fit and like going to a gym and working out and, you know, getting your, I don't know what this stuff is called, like cardio. I think that's a word that they use in that world. I'm like a food and wine guy. I do the intake, but I don't do the, shedding the pounds or building the muscle stuff. So we're going to talk to somebody who actually knows that stuff. And more importantly, given the context of this conversation, knows how to market in this arena. So welcome, Andrew Wallace.
David, thanks for having me. It's a wonder and a pleasure to be on the show today.
So I want to, before we talk about what you're currently doing, when you introduced yourself to me initially, you shared a little bit about your background. You said that you ditched your comfy C-suite job. You popped your laptop into your backpack and you've basically been traveling the world and operating on the road. Can you sort of flesh that out a little bit for me?
Absolutely, happy to. I'm on the Isle of Man. I'm back home. I still call it home, even though we've traveled extensively over the last few years. But home is where the heart is, I guess. Or as we say now, home is where we lay our hat. These days, or where I lay my backpack. But I'm Manx, M-A-N-X. That's my nationality. We're part of the UK. But yeah, I left school at 17, went straight into finance. I was an office junior back then. And then over 20 years, built up my experience, climbed the corporate ladder, looking after the portfolios of the rich and famous, and enjoyed that. But then there was always that I wanted to scratch that entrepreneurial itch, and I knew that there was something more in life, and I've always loved to travel, and living on an island that's 30 miles long and 15 miles wide, you know, the world's a big place. So we wanted to go off and explore, and that's what we chose to do. So the office, I had my own office at the time, but now my office is wherever I place my laptop. And, you know, we've been lucky, well, pre-COVID, of course, being able to travel. Well, we've been around the world three times in the last 4 or 5 years. So it's an incredible life. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to do that.
It's a dream that a lot of people have, and congratulations on being able to realize it. So your particular mechanism for allowing you to do this is related to the fitness industry, although it's a little bit broader than that, as you explained to me a moment ago.
Yeah, it's with, as everybody has done it, I've pivoted slightly, and of course, the knowledge that we build over our life, we're able to use it in different areas. And of course, my passion is health and wellness, as I've told. But equally, I can help others if they approach me and say, "Oh, can you help me with this particular project?" Or "How do I overcome this particular challenge that they're facing?" Then, yeah, generally, principles, no matter what industry we're in, the same rules apply.
This is not necessarily where we were going to go with our conversation, but I want to take a moment to pause on what you just said, because this is a common place of resistance for a lot of business owners who I work with, and I imagine you work with too, where we talk about getting super specific or narrowing your focus, or as we say in North America, but in the US, niching down, and the Canadians and you Brits say niching down, or I'm sorry, you have to repeat your nationality because I've never heard it before. What is it?
Manx, M-A-N-X.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're part of the UK. Yes. we're fiercely independent nation, for sure.
So I assume you say niche as well.
We say niche.
Okay. And so the whole point of what you just said, which is really important to reiterate here, is even though you have chosen to go narrow in health and wellness, mm-hmm. there are people from outside of health and wellness who are recognizing that you are a capable authority in your field who think, oh, well, maybe Andrew can help me too, even though I don't fall under the umbrella of what he specializes in.
Absolutely.
Now, I have the same experience in my business. Sure. And it's one of the things that it's counterintuitive that when you get narrow, you actually attract more people, even people outside of the people you're focusing on marketing to.
I think that's one of the biggest aha moments I've had, David. It was that, when I was being too much of a generalist and trying to please everybody and trying to help as many people as I can in so many different fields, it was always a struggle to really stand out. But by narrowing the niche, then, suddenly, I have a fervent group of people that are interested in hearing what I have to say. But then outside of that, there's another audience that say, hey, that rings true. I'm not in that field, but am I right in thinking you said this? And it was. And they go, oh, actually, yes, I can see how I can apply that to my field. So they're able to take that, as you say, which is fantastic.
So, all right, we've talked a little bit about what allowed you to do this. Can you explain the type of work that you're now engaged in with the types of clients that you're focusing on or not focusing on who come to you anyway?
Yeah, of course. So primarily the audience I love working with is in the health and wellness field. And that comes about in 2004, I qualified as a PT, personal trainer, and built up my own client base. And that enabled me then to have the opportunity to move abroad to Australia to manage a women's boot camp in Western Australia for 3 years. And from there, the company I worked for, they were also a fitness education company, and they were growing at pace and needed to more people to more coaches to work with their client base. So I was initially it was push. What you're talking about. You've got a background in finance, a background in the corporate world, and also qualified coach, personal trainer. So sink or swim. Thankfully, I was able to tread water for a bit, learn my craft, and grow as a coach primarily in the health and wellness field. So for the past 10 years now, I've been working with, 10 years, time flies, working with CrossFit box owners, independent gym owners, yoga, Pilates, PT studios, helping them with everything from finding the right location, again, pre-COVID, to helping them develop their marketing strategies, putting together content, and so on and so forth. And I'm sure it's the same with you, David, when you're working with clients, they're masters of their craft and they have a passion for what they do, but they jump into this with a lack of understanding or lack of knowledge or support on how it is to run a business. So, luckily with my background, I've been able to dot the I's and cross the T's for them and give them the assistance where necessary to help them build a foundation, a strong foundation on which they can then look to grow and scale their business to the level that they want to grow.
So, as you talked about this, immediately what jumped into my mind was one of our partners that we work with is eMyth, Michael Gerber's company.
One of the best books. That was a game changer for me, that book for sure.
And for people who don't know it, you probably know it by the phrase, work on your business, not in your business, or some variation of that theme. And the idea being that we're all very good at, hopefully, at the technical aspect of the business, but we don't, in fact, as entrepreneurs or business owners, know how to manage or grow the business. Mm-hmm. And so finding a way to create systems around it so that you can actually extract yourself from the business and let it run on its own is really the ideal situation for a business owner, because it allows you to then do whatever the next step is, you know, fulfill the reason that you got into business in the first place, as opposed to buying yourself a job or creating a job for yourself.
Absolutely. And if anybody listening to this hasn't read that book, please, I wholeheartedly recommend it. It's had a lasting impression, and I wouldn't be doing what I did if you know, that's one of the books that's enabled me to have those aha moments and be able to implement, you know, the sage advice that's given there to be able to do what I do today.
So I'm curious, because you talked about working with your clients at various stages of their business, whether it's just getting started building a brand new business or, you know, tweaking what's already existing. What are the common situations that a business owner, and to be clear, we've already identified the fact that you can work with a wider range of business owners than just health and wellness. So this will apply to everybody, even though we're going to be talking about, you know, as I think you say on your website, profitable fitness brands is what you're helping create, right? Irresistible and profitable fitness brands. I like that even more. but what situations do businesses that you work with often find themselves in that having you come in to help make sense?
That's a great question, David. And I think back to the clients where, you know, I've really enjoyed going into, if they've already got a location, I've gone in, visited them in person and got a feel for what they've got and what they're doing and where they may or may not be going wrong. On the switch side, those that are starting out, it's like that itch. They're that keen to get going. They've seen successful brands appear, maybe down the road from them, and if they've been lucky enough to get finance, then they've got all this money. They want to spend it, and they try and build this amazing business right out the gate, and it's the biggest challenge in that aspect is holding them back. You know, let's not spend all of that at the moment. Let's start, find your way, find your direction, find the types of clients you really enjoy working with, and keep back some of that money so that we can invest that on the business so that you can look to grow from there. So that's what I find the challenge is, particularly with those startups where they're keen to get going and they want to rule the world, you know, almost immediately, when, you know, that's a challenge.
You're describing this situation, and I'm envisioning, you know, a pristine studio that somebody's built, they've invested in all this equipment, and there's nobody there.
It's almost the Kevin Costner feel that build it and they will come. And unfortunately, right, in my experience, that doesn't happen. You have to get all your ducks in a row and have a good, as the Irish would say, rub of the green. And you know, you're very fortunate if you're able to hit that home run straight out the gate.
So, what are some of those ducks that need to be put in that row when it comes to let's use the situation of that sort of new business that's starting, and, you know, how do they figure out how to find their way? What are the steps you would recommend they go through?
If they've worked in the gym environment to begin with, they'll be able to, particularly with the studio owners, they will understand the frustrations that typical gym owners might have, you know, that they feel that they're unheard, they're unseen, they're just a number. And it's widely known within the fitness industry that gyms, if all of their members actually attended the gym, as opposed to just being a member and thinking, hey, I'm a gym owner, I'm already feeling more healthy. If they actually attended the gym, there would not be the capacity for the gyms around the world to be able to service their client base. Mm-hmm. They have thousands on their list, but they only have space in their facility for maybe 100 at a time. Some of the bigger gyms would be able to take on more. So you get to understand that as, and I was a gym instructor when I first started out. And I always remember George, the gym owner, when I qualified, and he was always pushing everybody to use his lovely new machines. Whereas I knew that being qualified trainer, that your body isn't designed to be sitting in a machine just pushing things backwards and forwards in a linear fashion. So I started, I was one of the first trainers, certainly over here, to do body weight and more, be basing my programs around human movement. So much so that they called me the circus act, because I'd have the equipment I used back then is predominant in actually in gyms now. There'd be suspension trainers like TRX, there'd be kettlebells, resistance bands, fit balls and the likes. But back when I started, it actually did me a favor, because people would see me doing something completely different and people were asking me, I want to be part of that. So when I'm helping people get started, it's like, well, tell me about your background. Tell me what experience you've already got. What have you seen within the industry, and what type of clients do you like working with? You know, if you look at your client list, which are the clients that bring a smile to your face? And conversely, which are those that you're looking at? Oh, I've got such and such coming in today, because it's unfair on them if you're not bringing your A game. So we want to find those clients that enable you to bring your A game, and then we can start thinking about, well, let's find more of those people. And if we spread the message that you're the person that works with that particular core group of people, then it makes our life easier when it comes to marketing, sales, and so on and so forth.
So I have one client who works in a tangential space to what you're describing. They work in improving bone strength, mm-hmm. and they have a facility that focuses solely on that. Now, they have a bunch of different people they can help. They have older people who are dealing with osteoporosis issues or pre-osteoporosis or related bone issues. They have people who are super athletes who want to make sure that they are doing whatever conditioning is necessary to maintain their physical abilities and probably improve their physical abilities. And then they have people who are just run-of-the-mill people who would like to be healthy, and they feel like this is just a good thing for them to be doing. Now, we decided that they can't market to and serve easily all of those people, right? Which is what you've just been talking about, right? And so one of the things that we did was we said, first, they had never been in this industry before. It was a franchise. They bought it. Where are you going to find the people who are most compelled to take advantage of the service? B, the people who are going to stick around and keep paying you, right? Once they have gotten in the groove of using the service. And see the people who actually have the money to be able to afford you so that they can pay you and stick around, et cetera. And so I, as you were telling the story, I'm thinking, well, yeah, it's a great place to start. Who resonates with you? Who do you resonate with? What makes you, as the owner, want to go into the studio in the morning and actually do the work? And then on top of that, And maybe I've jumped ahead in your story, but there's all of these additional considerations once you've identified those things that are really important. What sort of experiences can you share along these lines in terms of aligning the next steps with a client's desires?
Great questions again. And certainly, yeah, I can, looking at my own experience, for example, when I first started my fitness business, it was, I started out in the gym. So I was trying to get every other gym owner as a gym member to, hey, come and train with me. But then I realized that that wasn't the right approach, and that you've got to look at, as you say, the different options available. And from there, I realized that, you know, having a corporate background, I knew the patter, I knew the conversations to have with like lawyers, for example, and I knew that those in the law profession, they, you know, it was a stressful environment. They had high profile cases that they'd have to deal with, and they'd be out perhaps eating at their desk or eating out at corporate lunches. There might be alcohol involved and so on and so forth. And that would have a negative impact on their lives. So when I was able to talk with them and explain by making subtle tweaks and focusing on elements to help them improve their well-being, then that was going to give them a sharper mind, sharper focus, and be able to win more cases, then I suddenly found that I had an audience that that I could talk to myself. And similarly, when I had my fitness boot camps for women, there was a whole range of different age brackets that I was dealing with. It'd be the mid-20s up to those in their late 50s. But I found that, again, as you say, a message that would resonate with a 20-year-old isn't going to resonate with a lady in her 50s. So I made the decision to look for the middle road of the 35 to 45-year-old female would be my target audience for my boot camp, through looking at my client base and doing surveys with women I spoke to. But in doing that, again, as we spoke earlier, by narrowing that niche, then suddenly it didn't impact. I was still getting the 20-year-olds. I was still getting the 55-year-old plus, because they wanted to be part of that audience. Mm-hmm. And that made my life easier, because I knew the challenges of that 35 to 45 demographic had.
So with that middle group, what was the hook? What was it that you were emphasizing, that you were delivering, that seemed to resonate with them?
Made it about them. It was me time. A lot of them were working mums. They were either working as in the medical industry. They were nurses or doctors. They were educators, so they were teachers or lecturers. They had two or more kids. They were married, and they always put themselves last. The kids came first, the dog, the husband, and then them. So it was me time. So they were able to have a laugh, be around like-minded women, and they could participate, and it became a community. I'm really focused on that side of things, so much so that as I was able to scale my business and move my myself away from the cold face, you know, doing the actual sessions, they hardly noticed. It was like a dagger to the heart to begin with. Hey, it's all about me. But then I suddenly realized I found, you know, the magic, I guess, that I'd actually followed the principles in the EMIF, and I'd systemized my business. I'd found, actually, my first instructors were actually, initially, they were clients who then qualified as coaches and were looking for, you know, to start out on with their own clients. And I said, hey, rather than doing it yourself, come and join me as part of the team, and I'll help you grow. And, you know, everybody succeeds. So,
and by the way, that's another community growth tip for listeners, right? how do you maintain community? Well, you graduate your clients into members of the team, right? And you extend that community further.
It was fantastic, and I wish I said that the idea came to me, but I suppose it did to a degree. But I got wind of that they were looking to go into the industry, and so we had the conversation, and it was brilliant because, as you say, David, the girls were happy because they saw one of their own, you know, mm-hmm. growing, and it was a seamless transition. And to be honest, they were better coaches than what I was, but don't tell anyone that. but they it was great. So it enabled, I could spend more time, you know, helping develop them, helping them grow in their career. And in turn, they were loving what they were doing. They were loving the support, and their focus was on the client. So everybody won. And what I really took away from that was that friendships were forged. You know, girls would turn up on like a Saturday morning, one of the Saturday morning classes, and then they'd go for coffee afterwards as a group. And this was before they joined the group, they didn't know each other. So, you know, long-term friendships were forged. And ultimately, because of our focus was community driven, you know, clients stayed. I wish I could say they stayed because we had wonderful sessions, but I think they stayed because they didn't want to miss out on being with the other girls in the group, and it was incredible.
And I think this is one of the things that a lot of businesses overlook, and you know, whether this was you know, accidental or it was intentional on your part, it worked, and it's that you're creating a business that, I mean, these days we will often reference, you know, here in the US, there's a store called Nordstrom. I'm sure there's, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what would be the equivalent, you know, experiential shopping, customer service focused. I was going to say, like, it's not Harrods. It's the more posh one, the heart, not something Nick's. What's that one?
Harvey Nicks, as they call it. Yeah.
Right. And I remember having like an exceptional high-end experience shopping there, where it felt like I had a personal shopper assisting me the entire time I was there. Uh-huh. Ritz-Carlton hotels have a similar experience. Disney is famous for having this experience. Sure. And so by finding a way to interject the experience being the thing that people are buying into, right? And you identified that as community, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of the experience. You develop affinity, which gets people committed for the long term rather than, oh, I'm here because I need to lose a little bit of weight. Once the weight is off, I'm going to leave and, you know, go back to my life as it was before, or whatever the purpose of, you know, their particular goal was. I got my me time. That's a great way to leverage long-term commitment to a business, because it's not a specific goal that has an end.
Exactly.
So beautifully conceived.
No, thank you. And as I say, a lot of it was pure luck. Other bits were pure experience, and just the synergy of putting it all together has worked. And that's what I look to do now within the business community again, is building that community, because we've all had challenges over the last couple of years with COVID and with the impact that's had, the negative impact on people's mental health, with being locked away from, you know, if somebody's used to going into an office or a working environment surrounded by people, and suddenly they're cut off and, you know, living alone or certainly isolated, then that there's a negative impact on that. So being able to have a community and being there for support through Zoom and hopefully going forward we can meet up in person again, then, you know, that's what I've been able to do through, you know, reaching out and connecting with people and looking for that community side of things.
Beautiful. We're just about out of time, but before we wrap up, we probably should let some folks, whether you're in the health and wellness industries or not, know how to get in touch with you. Where should folks go to find you?
Well, they can find me by searching at Andrew Wallace, that's W-A-L-L-I-S-H-H-Q, HQ, put my teeth in. So Andrew, at Andrew Wallace HQ. So they can find me then Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or they can get me at the website andrewwallace.me. So me.
Beautiful. I will make sure that we leave links to the website, and hopefully some folks will follow up with you and inquire a little bit more about the services that you provide and the guidance that you offer. So Andrew Wallace, thank you so much for spending some time with me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
It's been wonderful, David. Thank you.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. I look forward to seeing you back here again real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.